on. We're going to go ahead and get started with the call. Let's see, Pastor Montgomery, can you open us up in prayer tonight?
Be glad to. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for again allowing us to join back together to talk about these excellent things about communication within our marriage, and Lord, how you are blessing families, households, and we just thank you for Brother Brian, Lord, for leading this wonderful study, and we thank you for those who are joining in tonight. We just trust, Lord, that each person will be blessed as they join in. We ask that more and more will join in. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, I'm going to start off with a few announcements. And as always, I'd like to remind you, if you ever have any questions, you can always reach me at 678-245-4336. That's my cell phone, 678-245-4336. 4336, and each week I always send out a reminder text, and if you would like to get on a list for receiving that reminder text, just send me a text to that 678 number with your first and last name, and I'll be glad to add you to the reminder list. And also, we record the call each week, and so if you ever miss the call, you can always go to our website to listen to the recording of the call. And here's the website to listen to the recording. It's www.gototabnow.com. That's www.gototabnow.com. So always go there if you miss a call and listen to the recording. And then the book we've been using, it's a real good book, and the author is H. Norman Wright, and the title of the book is Communication: Key to Your Marriage, The Secret to True Happiness. So again, the title is Communication, Key to Your Marriage, The Secret to True Happiness by H. Norman Wright. And we've been using a September 2012 edition. So if you're going to go out and buy that book, make sure you buy the September 2012 edition. All right, now that we've got done with the announcements, and it sounds like the Draytons have joined us on the call.
Hi, good evening.
How you doing? Yeah, I'm just putting y'all out like that.
Yeah, you did.
So we're going to go ahead and get started with looking at the book. And tonight we've been looking at chapter 4. And so take your books and turn over to chapter 4. And we're going to start looking at page 62. And we're going to look at two of the topics that he talks about tonight. And this chapter is called, chapter 4 is called A Key to Intimacy. The Key to Intimacy. And if you've missed a few of the calls, make sure you go back and read chapter 4. You know, each week I always say read the chapter. And this has been a real good chapter. All the chapters have been good. But this has been a real good chapter. So make sure you go back and read all of chapter 4. And one thing I do is I try to read through the chapter each week because I get a lot out of just rereading through that chapter each week. And so make sure you go back and read through chapter 4. He's had some good things to say so far. But tonight we're going to start on page 62. And on page 62, here's this first topic. We're only going to cover two of them tonight. But the first one that he talks about that we're going to look at tonight is, he says the topic is think before you speak. Let me say that one again. Think before you speak. And I thought that was a good topic, and I know it could have saved me a lot of times if I had thought more before I spoke. But let me start off by reading what he said. He says, do you remember the old statement? Make sure your brain is in gear before you engage your mouth. Let me read that again. Make sure your brain is in gear before you engage your mouth. Any of y'all ever heard that before?
I hadn't really heard that one myself.
Yeah, I don't know if I heard that one before either. I might have heard something similar to it, but I don't know if I heard it quite like that before.
Yeah,
but anyway, it says,
I mean, put brain into motion before moving mouth. Maybe that's what he was telling me.
Okay, well, say that again.
My father used to say, put brain into motion before moving mouth.
Oh, okay, put brain into motion before moving mouth. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, yeah, that sounds pretty much like what it's saying here.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes on to say, he said, that's, and the author says, that's basically what God's word is saying. He says, so often we think, uh-oh, I wish I hadn't said that. I like to take it back. But once the words are spoken, it's done. There's no erase button, no rewind button. There's no judge telling the jury to disregard that last comment. You know, and I can think of times where maybe me and Sabrina was talking and I said something and I wanted to kind of say, well, you know, just disregard what I just said there. You know, that wasn't supposed to have been said at that particular moment. Just disregard it. But unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. And so we got to think about what we're saying. He went on to say, he says, when you take the time to think before you speak, you can evaluate, edit, and consider the impact your words, and consider the impact of your words on the other person. And so when you, let's see, Cheryl, now say that one again, what you said your father said. Put your brain, how did he word that again?
He used to always say, put brain into motion before moving mouth.
Okay, put brain into motion before moving mouth. Now how have you found that over the years? Doing that?
I'm still struggling with it. When I was young, I did better, but when I got older, it got a little difficult.
Got more difficult to do that?
Yes.
Now, here's one thing I'm kind of wondering. Sometimes, if you're doing something and maybe you say something that you say, oh, no, I shouldn't have said that. Does his words, do they kind of pop into your head? How does that work?
All the time.
All the time?
Mm-hmm.
And so you're hearing your father speak those words to you all the time, huh?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, I can imagine that. And so, but then he's going to quote some scriptures, but notice what he says here. He says, what would happen in a marriage if the following principles were consistently applied? Now listen to these verses, and he's going to be quoting from the New Century Version of the, that's a paraphrase of the Bible. So he says, what would happen in a marriage if the following principles were consistently applied? And here's the first one from Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18. It says, careless words stab like a sword, but wise words bring healing. Careless words stab like a sword, but wise words bring healing. So think about that. If as you're going through your marriage, if you were really being careful with those words there, if you were really thinking about that, well, now are these careless words or are these wise words that I'm about to say? Then the next one he said, this one is from Proverbs chapter 14, verse 29. It says, patience people have great understanding, but people with quick tempers show their foolishness. Patient people have great understanding, but people with quick tempers show their foolishness. And the next one is from Proverbs chapter 21, verse 23. And this one says, those who are careful about what they say keep themselves out of trouble.
Yep.
And that's pretty plain. Those who are careful about what they say keep themselves out of trouble. The Bible can be real plain sometimes, can't it?
Yes,
indeed.
Yep.
And then this last one that he quotes is from Proverbs chapter 29, verse 20. And it says, do you see people who speak too quickly? There is more hope for a foolish person than for them.
Yeah.
Do you see people who speak too quickly? There's more hope for a foolish person than for them.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think the author's right about that when he was saying that, how do you think, he says, what would happen in your marriage if the following principles were consistently applied?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think
less
that would
argument.
Made, less argument?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Because yep, we tend to say things in the heat of the moment, and we don't think it out before we said it, and then maybe the next day you think, oh, my goodness, I can't believe I said it like that.
Right. Okay.
And also, when you say stuff and you don't really think about it, like you said, you can't take it back. And you could hurt someone. And sometimes you go around and the person is really hurt. And you don't realize that it was what you said that hurt them.
Right.
I personally, if I'm being hurt by what is said, I think about it and then I let my husband know if he's the one who hurt me. That way.
Oh, okay.
I'd let him know. I said, you know, I really didn't feel good about what you said. You quoted that. He said, but I didn't say it that way. And I said, that's the way it came out. You know?
Right.
Okay. Yeah, you really have to be careful what you say.
Yeah, and I know the other week we talked about that in the book.
Yeah.
He talked about when he was talking about what you say to others, and I think it was five times, it was five ways, and he was saying that, and we won't go over it tonight, but if you go back and look at that thing about what you say to others, he talks about how there's, when you say something, it's actually said about five times. But you can go back and look at that. That was a pretty good little thing that he said there. But, all right, so we're going to move on to the other one. So one thing we want to try to do more of in our marriages is to think about what we say. Don't just let those words fly, but think about it. And then the next one I want us to look at tonight is on page 62. And look down near the bottom of page 62 where he begins there, where he says, speak the truth. And so this next topic we're going to talk about is how we need to speak the truth. And he starts off by saying, we live in a culture that believes it's all right to lie. Today we call it modifying the truth. Okay, modifying the truth. And as he was saying that, I don't know if I, me personally, I don't remember hearing that term too much. Have any of y'all heard that term before? Somebody said, well, I'm just modifying the truth, or we modify the truth sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Haven't heard that one either. It's mostly, you know, where people say, you know, somebody said a little white lie or something like that.
Yeah. Right, yeah, that's the way I've heard it more.
But I've seen it happen where it's like a partial truth.
Right.
Like half of it, but the whole truth isn't really there.
Right, okay. All right, and so he...
What did she say, Brian? I'm sorry, can hear Sister Claire.
It said they'll say like a partial truth.
Oh, okay.
But the truth isn't really there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what he's going to go on and say. He went on to say, he says, what do we mean by this? Talking about when we say modify the truth. He says, what do we mean by this? He says, to modify means to change. Thus, what is changed is no longer true, but a lie. So if you're modifying the truth, you're changing the truth. And if you change the truth, you no longer have the truth. He said, isn't it all right? He's asking a question. He said, isn't it all right to lie if it means you can avoid unpleasantness in your relationship with a person? Let's think about that one for a second. He said, isn't it all right to lie if it means you can avoid unpleasantness in your relationship with a person? He says, we can all think of situations in which we feel it would be best not to speak the truth for fear of hurting the other person. But does lying, and notice he just calls it what it is, he says, but does lying really avoid unpleasantness?
Oh.
You know, kind of
thought about,
that. I'm sorry, go ahead. Say, what were you going to say?
I said never thought about it like that.
Right. Okay, what? And when you say thought about how he's saying about people do it to try to avoid unpleasantness?
Yeah, when you try not to... Your attempt is not to hurt someone's feelings.
Uh-huh.
So you say it, but I don't know.
Okay. Well, I'm going to read to go on what he said. He says, perhaps the most tempting opportunity to lie is when we're confronted with something we've done. He says, we feel like altering the truth or rationalizing it in order to push the blame away from ourselves. You can see this pattern starting in small children. When they are confronted with a wrong action, they find it so difficult to say, yes, I did it, I'm sorry, I accept the responsibility. Have you ran into many children who do that when they get caught up in, when they get caught in something? And they say, yes, I did it. I'm sorry. I accept the responsibility. Doesn't happen a whole lot of times, does it? At least thing that I've noticed, at least not with some prompting. I know one thing Sabrina's always been big on with our grandchildren and with our children was, you know, just tell me the truth. And unfortunately, a lot of times they wouldn't, and they wouldn't have gotten in trouble probably if they would have just told the truth. But because they tried to cover it up, you know how those mothers and grandmothers, they always had that little radar when they can tell. And they try covering it up, and then they wind up getting in more trouble mm-hmm. because of how they tried to cover something up instead of just saying the truth.
Mm-hmm.
He said, is it possible? Now, this is to go back to answering the question. He says, is it possible to tell the truth yet and hold? Okay, wait. Oh, I left out the other part. Let me see that other part where he talks about speaking the truth. And what he went on to say about speaking the truth is he went on to say that, you know, you might think that by not speaking all the truth at that particular moment, you're trying to hide away some unpleasantness. But he went on to say in the book, he went on to say, but what normally happens when you lie? Normally when you happen, the truth comes out anyway. And when the truth comes out, then the person is hurt because you lied to them. And so he went on to say, you know, so in your attempt to try to keep from doing saying something that was unpleasant, in most cases, it doesn't work out that way because all the truth comes out, and then the person can be more hurt because not only did you tell them everything, but then you lied about it too. And that was a little bit different way from thinking about that. I'd never quite thought about it like that before. But then he goes on to say, he says, is it possible to tell the truth and yet hold back part of it because the other person is not ready for all the facts? And so what do y'all think about that? Is it possible to tell the truth and yet hold back part of it because the other person is not ready for all the facts? Anybody have any thoughts on that one?
I still think that's, well, you know, in some sense you're trying to consider the other person when they're not ready for the facts. That's a tough one. It seems like you're saying you're not lying, but you're just not saying you're not telling the whole thing. But that I think you have to be really careful with that because that can still backfire.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Anybody else have anything you want to add there? And notice what he said about that. He says, perhaps. He said, but holding back part of the information, he says, but does holding back part of the information call a person to think the opposite of what the truth actually is? And so what he's getting at is there sometimes, you know, as you're holding back the truth, are you holding back the truth to try to change what they think? You know, are you? You know, so I guess what he's saying is, you know, what's really your motive behind holding back that truth?
Mm-hmm.
Are you really concerned about that person, or are you just trying to change a little bit what they're thinking? And I like this situation right here. I know I find myself, this sounds real familiar to us men. He says, what happens? He's going to illustrate it. He says, what happens when your wife walks in and asks, how do you like my new dress? How does it look on me? Oh, man, y'all ever been faced with that one? With your wife, your spouse asks you, how do you like my new dress? How does it look on me? Is that a question you like to have asked? I know that's not one of my favorite questions to have asked. And here's what he says. He says, often a husband will say, fine, even though he doesn't like the dress and it doesn't look good on his wife. So the husband's going to say, fine. Ladies, do y'all think that's happening a lot?
Well, you tell us the truth.
Hey.
I asked that question many times, and I get an answer. I guess he's trying to be honest, because I'll hear, that doesn't really look like you. I said, then what am I supposed to be looking like? And he said, well, that one might look like a grandma dress.
Oh.
That one really hurts. Well, I don't know if that ever happened to anybody else, but I said, well, I could be a grandma even though I'm not. I guess it's just what he likes to see me in, you know?
Right, okay.
So, everybody has their own, what they see, what they like is up to the person, you know? But just wear what I feel comfortable in. So sometimes, no matter what he likes, I'm still wearing it.
Oh, okay.
What he doesn't like. Because I have a mind of my own, and sometimes I just exercise it.
Right, okay. Mm-hmm. Anybody else have anything you want to add to that?
Well, what about if the husband asks the wife, do you like this? Women normally say, no, I don't like it. Mm-hmm. Men are scared to say, no, I don't like it.
Yeah, that is true. But listen what he goes on to say about this, though. He said, let's hope the wife was being truthful in asking the question. Was she looking for an answer to her question, or was she wanting her ego build up? He says, we also can be deceitful by the questions we ask. So there he's talking about, you know, again, the kind of the motivation. Why are you really asking that question? You know, do you really want to answer? Or are you looking for something, your ego build up? Or, you know, and I think sometimes with these kind of questions, that's kind of what a man is afraid of. Like, oh, no, why is she asking me this? Does she want, and he's thinking, does she really want me to answer that or what? And so, and I guess that's the predicament they find themselves in sometimes. They don't really know, you know, what's the motive behind that. But I like what he said. I'm going to read his answer in a minute. He says, in this situation, it would be better if the husband honestly shared his feelings.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So he said, in this situation, it would be better if the husband honestly shared his feelings. But now notice what he says, though. He says, marriage is built on trust, and there can be no trust unless there is truthfulness. Answering a question like this, as well as hundreds of others in marriage, requires tact. Here's one way he says the husband can answer. He says, I think I've seen you in other dresses I like better.
That's good.
How do you like that? He says, I think I've seen you in other dresses I like better.
It's a model we feel.
Yeah, so he's saying that he's being truthful there, right?
Mm-hmm.
I've seen you in other dresses I like better. He says, is a much better response than, huh, it sure shows off your weight.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you really have to be tactful.
That's
right. And so now, assuming both cases, he's saying the same thing, right? Whether he says, I think I've seen you in other dresses that look better, or whether he says, huh, it sure shows off your weight. If it shows off her weight, that's probably why he's saying that he's seen her in other dresses that looks better, right? So in both cases, he's answering the question, right? But in one case, he's using more tact in the way he answers that question.
So he put his brain into motion before moving his mouth.
Right, yeah. That's exactly what I was thinking, too.
That's pretty good.
And so he was honest. And so, like I said, you want to be honest,
mm-hmm.
but just because you're honest, that doesn't mean don't be tactful.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because I thought that was just an excellent illustration of how you say that you're telling the absolute truth with either one. But one is, I would say, one could be hurtful and one isn't.
Good, good.
And he says there's a close correlation between truth and trust in a relationship. Truth must be accompanied by love, tact, and deep concern for the other person. I'll read that one again. Truth must be accompanied by love, tact, and deep concern for the other person. And that first way that he said it, I think I've seen you in other dresses I like better. I mean, doesn't that just sound like you said, doesn't that just sound more loving, more tactful, and sounds like it has more concern for the person?
Yes, it does. Yes,
it just sounds like it, rather than just saying, huh, it sure shows off your weight. I mean, that just, it might be true, but it doesn't show very much tact and concern for that other person. Anything anybody would like to add to that before we go on to this last point that he was making? All right. And I know one thing about me, since I've been reading that, I said, well, I'm going to try to put that one into practice a little bit better. And here's the problem I've been running into. I've been sitting there thinking, now how should I say this better? And I'm sitting there just being quiet, 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 quiet. I'm like, okay, Brian, it's about time to open your mouth. I'm trying to figure out, well, what's a better way to say these things sometimes? And so that's one little challenge that I've been finding with that one, is that it's good and you need to do it, but it can be hard coming up with the right words, coming up with those tactful words.
Well, you know, this is Cheryl. Sometimes when you're married long enough, you know your spouse or your partner, and you can read the face. They don't have to say anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know it, and that's the trouble sometimes. You're being read, and you didn't say anything.
Yeah, sometimes that's worse.
Yeah, and but I guess that's a good side. That can be the good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess I'm thinking about right now when you're sitting there thinking about a good way to say it. But let me go on and read this last part. He's going to talk about Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. He says, notice Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, which exhorts us to speak the truth in love. Remember, that's what we're talking, that's what he's been saying here, you know, being tactful. He says, speak the truth in love. The words in love could imply tact. Be concerned about how you speak the truth. Be sensitive to the other person and the way in which you can make him receptive to words of truth. It says, do not rip the person apart and scar them emotionally by frank, honest words that carry a tinge of brutality. And so he said, you know, we got to really be careful. You know, you want to speak the truth, but you want to be careful how you speak that truth. And so that's what it's trying to get us to see in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5. You know, speak that truth with love. Don't, as he said, you know, you don't, in your marriage relationship, you don't want to go around lying to each other. You don't want to go around holding back the truth. But at the same time, you don't want to leave scars because you were too frank in the way you said it. You know, just think about that illustration again. I think I've seen you in other dresses I like better. Just think about how that sounds. I think I've seen you in other dresses I like better versus, huh, it sure shows off your weight. He's speaking the exact same truth each time, but one time it comes across as loving and concerned, and one time it doesn't. So we want to make sure we say that truth, but we want to be careful about how we say it. He says, and I'll just start right here again. It says, truth must be accompanied by love, tact, and deep concern for the other person. It says, there's a close correlation between truth and trust in a relationship. There's a close correlation between truth and trust in a relationship. And so if we really want our relationship to go, we got to really be truthful. But at the same time, we don't want to be brutal and not truth-speaking either.
Goes back to the before you speak. where you should put your brain in gear before you engage your mouth. But
right. Yeah, you got to really do that.
Yes.
And you know, so because you want to speak that truth, but you want to do it in a way that's not going to hurt that person.
Exactly.
All right. Anybody else have a comment before we end the call tonight? Hopefully, you got some good nuggets here. And like I say, go back. Make sure you go back and read this chapter 4, because he's really been talking about some. You know, he's been really bringing out some good things in this chapter 4. All right, anybody before we get off the call tonight? Anything you want to add or a comment you want to make? All right, if nobody else has anything you want to add, enjoyed having you all on the call. And like I say, make sure you read chapter 4. And thing I've noticed is every time I read it, I get something new out of it. So make sure you go back and read the chapter again. And then as he gives those verses, you're going to notice in this chapter he's given a lot of verses for you to read. Make sure you go and look up those verses as he gives them to you to read so you can see what God's Word has to say about it. Well, we're going to go ahead and end the call. So we're going to go ahead and let everybody say good night, and we'll see you on the call again next week.
Okay, good night, everyone. Have a blessed one.
Good night.
Good night,
all.
Bye-bye.